Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And we're very excited about today's journey down the river. We're going to be talking with the same guest we had last week, Nicole O'Dell. And Jeannie and I are quite excited about the topic today, which is going to be about the Internet and the teenagers. Wow. Mm-hmm. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Maxine. You know what I was thinking about, and sorry to Nicole about this, but I was just thinking how we always gush about the sun shining when it's shining here. And since we don't have listeners, I mean, we have them all over the world instead of just in Oregon, they probably don't understand that seeing the sun is just a really big deal to us.
I know, and today we actually have it come out this afternoon, and I think it's supposed to stick around tomorrow. And we have had several days of rain and gray and drizzle, and the leaves have all fallen. They're gorgeous leaves, and we really have as pretty of a fall as the East Coast, whether they know it or not. We've got our secret weapons out here with our big leaves and little leaves and colors of all kinds of oranges, yellows, and everything. Your yard's got to be gorgeous right now.
Yeah, the leaves are all over it, and the colors are wonderful, I'll admit, against that green grass.
Yeah, well, I had a wonderful carpet of leaves to walk on up the trail this morning. It was just beautiful. Well, let's get started on today's show because we are going to run out of time before we know it. Nicole O'Dell is our guest again. She's the Parent Talk and Teen Talk host. She's the founder of Choose Now Ministries and Choose Now Radio. She's a youth culture expert who writes and speaks to preteens, teenagers, and parents on preparing for life's tough choices. She's a mother of six and has preschool triplets, which has got to be a heck of a lot of fun at Nicole's house.
That amazes me.
Yeah. She's the author of 19 books, some young adult fiction, like her popular Scenarios for Girls interactive fiction series and the Diamond Estate series, and nonfiction for teens, including Girl Talk. And one of the series we're talking about today, we're into her series called Hot Buttons. And her nonfiction is to prepare and preempt the peer pressure things and help parents tackle those tough issues and help teens just know how to make good choices before they are faced with a choice that has to be made. So welcome to our program, Nicole.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back. It's such a great opportunity to just chat with you and your listeners about these tough subjects. It's tough for parents to know what to do.
I want to know.
It's great.
How do you do preschool triplets? How does that work at your house? Let's have just a minute on that because that's got me a little mystified.
Oh,
it's, you know, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I have no idea. if you wanted me to write a book or a manual, there is no such thing. It's impossible to give a set of rules. It's just, it's basically complete flexibility and go with the flow. That's all you can do.
Are they all one sex, or some boys, some girls?
Are two girls and a boy. And when they were babies, it was shockingly, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, looking back on what I felt like then, but it was so much easier because they stayed where you put them. You could strap them into things.
I agree.
And, you know, and they didn't speak, and they didn't argue, and...
Oh, golly. Well, bless
Wait
your
till
heart.
They're teenagers. Oh,
yes,
I can't even
yes.
believe three toddlers. Oh. That's
all
amazing.
The trouble they can get into together, huh, Jeannie?
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you asked about that because I thought, you know what, last time I could barely think about the show because I was thinking about the three toddlers. So
well,
now we've got that out of the way.
Someday there'll be three kids in driver's ed at the same time, three kids with class rings, it's going to be
three
nutty.
College kids at the same time. It's going to be lots of proms at the same time, everything. You're going to be a busy household.
Wonderful, though,
Okay, so you I have got an awful lot to share with our listeners today on the internet.
Yes.
What happens in social media today? Why in the world should parents be so concerned about the social media?
Well, it's what's happening is our kids are getting so involved and enraptured in this, in the technology of communication and being in these relationships that is strictly, they're strictly based on technology, and they get this kind of a pseudo intimacy with people, and they think they have great relationships, and they think, and, you know, especially when it comes to things like dating, and they, their whole dating relationship is based on text message, and then they get alone, and they don't even know who the person is they're speaking with, because you know how it is when you're reading on social media as you're texting, you infuse your own expectations of what that person's saying and what their intentions are, and humor and all those little nuances we have when we communicate, they're absent. So a person can project whatever they expect from the other person into that communication. So it can be dangerous. And then they're also, they're kind of keeping themselves in these 24-hour conversations with all their friends, and it's just this ongoing communication. When, you know, when you and I were young, you had to make a phone call, and mom and dad were worried about minutes, and you could only use the phone for a certain amount of time, and it was an event to speak with someone. And now it's just an ongoing, they have access to each other continuously.
And yet they don't really, as you said, know how to have an actual relationship in a lot of times, because they only know the shallow, that's scary.
And
it's,
you know, and they're doing it on their cell phone. So, you know, we're talking about the internet, but the internet is the cell phone now. My daughter, we talked about this just the other day. She has an email account, but she doesn't use it. Email takes too long. Can you even imagine such a thing? They have, nobody checks email. She says, Mom, email, that's like writing a letter. It's archaic. That's her word. So we're texting, and it's Facebook, and it's Twitter, and it's Instagram, and all these things.
I've never even heard of Instagram.
Oh, wow.
So
it's a big one.
Yeah, that one is so fast.
And it changes. And then she says, as soon as we get there, the moms and dads, they're done with it. Like the phrase LOL. I said LOL, and she said, well, teenagers don't really say that anymore because our parents stole it.
Oh,
so,
what do teenagers say now?
It changes. You know, epic was big for a while. They all said epic, and then, you know, legit, that's a new one that's real popular. But it'll change. And just keeping, you know, as parents, we need to keep our eyes open, but maybe not worry so much about talking like our kids. Just let them have their thing. Let them be teenagers. Let them enjoy their words without trying to fit in, but being aware of how much time they're spending. You know, one little text message is fine, but if it's one little text message every minute to 15 different people on a 24-hour basis, then, you know, we've got an issue.
Yeah, we have a big issue. So what concerns me, though, is the statistics that I'm reading here. It says 55% of teens have given out personal information to someone they don't know, including a photo and a physical description.
Oh, I would bet even more. And we can see that, you know, you watch those To Catch a Predator shows and some of the different, informational shows that are out there, documentaries. They give away your personal information without even realizing it. If they talk about their, you know, their football team won the state, you know, our team won state and we did a parade. Well, whoever they're talking to can figure out now what their football team is. So they narrow it down to one town. And they give away this information, or if they post a picture, they may not realize that most pictures now, even on Facebook, have date, time, and location stamps that anyone who knows how to use it can uncover that. They can pinpoint exactly where they are. And Instagram is exactly that. It's instant. So when you take the picture, it's posting to your Twitter and your Facebook feed. So wherever you are at that moment, it's a picture of where you are, what you look like, who you're with, what you're doing.
Wow.
And it's public at that point.
Wow.
So, go ahead, Jeannie.
You know, I was just telling Maxine, Nicole, yesterday on the news I caught the tail end of something, and I hope you know about it, but it's brand new, and it's an app that teens can get, and it's something about when they text a picture, it's on their phone for just instance, and then it's erased from their phone so nobody can trace it. but it goes out. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
I was horrified.
No, yeah, there are other, you know, other apps. Well, that one sounds like it might be intended for safety. Is that am I reading you right on that?
I don't know, because I got the impression it was intended to hide from parents.
Oh,
but I don't know.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you meant it scrubbed the location data, there are apps for that too, which will clean your pictures before you post them. So
yeah, I don't
say
think
your
that's
location.
What it But I could have heard it wrong. I was just hoping you'd heard about it. So anyway.
No, I'm sure you're right. That it probably has to deal with sexting and, you know, pornographic
pictures.
That's what
pictures. I was guessing. That's what I thought.
And, you know, an aspect of those kind of pictures that we don't talk about very often has to do with the recipient of the picture. And a lot of times these girls are going after older boys. And if you're got a 14, 15-year-old girl sending a picture, a naked picture or, you know, lewd picture to an 18-year-old boy, the minute he opens it, he's a sex offender.
That's wrong, too. Because he's
But they get arrested and they get a record, and for the rest of their lives, they're a sex offender, and it's, you know, you got to check into schools and label yourself a sex offender, and it can be simply opening the picture that somebody else sent to him. And at that point, how do you prove I didn't know what it was? And, you know, so it's so risky and so damaging, so dangerous, but it happens all the time.
So what are some of the things that a parent should be looking for? I mean, how can they know when they're how do they know how to protect their child with the internet?
Oh, well, the biggest thing with all of these hot button issues is communication. And the internet, even more so, it's one of the most insidious things that we've got to really be aware of and protect our kids from. We can put software on our computers to keep, you know, certain sites from popping up and to keep our kids from being able to go to different places. They can also control how much time can be spent on the internet, what times of day. Like if you're a parent who works and you don't want your kids on the internet until you get home, you can set those parameters so the Wi-Fi is inaccessible until a certain time. All those things are possible and great, and by all means use them. But what about when your kid's on the school bus and she or he and all their friends have smartphones, and they're, you know, the minute school ends, they're on the internet. Or they go to a friend's house, and that house doesn't have those same parental controls on the computer. More than putting up locks and barricades, we need to educate our kids as to what these things are that are out there and why they're so dangerous to them for the future. Their relationship with God, their relationship with their future spouse, things like pornography and predators and all those things. We need to really give them the tools so they can understand what's out there and why they need to avoid it, so they can be intentional about avoiding it.
Yeah,
that's really important, because what these statistics are saying, that 88% of the parents know their teens are typically using the internet to communicate, but they don't know with people they don't know in the offline world, and 47% admit that they're concerned about their teen's safety online, but find it overwhelming. So you've got some checkpoints in your book. And one of the things I liked about your book, Nicole, was that you compared teaching about the internet, or any of these hot buttons really, with a police officer going to learn how to be a policeman. You say he's not given a gun and a squad car right away. What do you mean by all that?
Well, you know, a person can have the best of intentions and, you know, want to rid society of crime and keep people safe, but they have to be trained to do that. So as part of that training, they're given more freedom and more responsibility. And, well, you know, with freedom comes that responsibility and the gun and tools and whatever it takes to do his job. The same thing in this case with the internet or with anything else. As we train them and our kids become more savvy and more in tune with what God has for them and more willing to forego desire and temptation in favor of good choices and, you know, future outlook on what's best for them, then we can allow more freedom, which then requires more responsibility from them.
Yeah. Freedom's always a temptation of teens, though, don't you think?
Yes, and freedom, you know, that's where we push our boundaries as human beings. When we get our little bit of freedom, we test the waters, and that's human nature. And, this is always a good point. When we get to this point in the discussion, reminding parents that this is all a journey, and your job as a parent, you're not graded on how perfect you keep your kids. You're graded on, it's not even a great word, but we're asked to be good examples, and we're asked to, you know, present the gospel and teach them the right way and walk in it so they can follow us and all those things. We're not asked to make them perfect. They're on a journey, too, just like us. And, you know, he who began that good work in them will be faithful to complete it.
Yes, he will. Hey, Nicole, you talk about cell phones as though every kid has them, and I think they probably do pretty much. But what's your stand on that? What do you think the pros and cons, and how do you feel about it?
Well, in this day and age, it's really difficult. And, you know, yes, we could get along without cell phones, but I sure like knowing I can reach my kids at any time. And I like that they can get a hold of me at any time from anywhere. And one of the rules in our house, and sometimes I get some pushback on this from people, but one of the rules is in order for them to get their cell phone for the day, to use it for that day, they have to have done their daily devotion and they come and talk to me about it. So I think
I like
that before. Yeah, they read from a devotional book and they think about it and they pray and they come and talk to me and tell me what it was, and then they have to make some kind of personal application. And it's just a matter of ordering the priorities of their communication. So they talk to God first, and then they talk to me, and then they have access to everyone else.
I like that. That's really great.
That's a very good tip to give. Yeah. I like that, too, because you've got to be able to know what they're doing, not just in their daily lives between school and home, but you need to know what they're doing in this big, wide cyberspace world.
And there are apps, moms and dads listening, there are apps, if you've given in and your kids have a smartphone, there are apps where you can keep track of where they are and where they've been. And some people say this is a big privacy concern for our kids, but you know what? I don't believe that privacy is a natural human right, you know. As a parent, my responsibility to care for them and protect them from themselves even is far greater than their right to that kind of privacy.
Nicole, I'm reading your book. I get into the middle of it and the pages with the 50s and such on them, and you've got these checkpoints, but more alarming than that, you've got different websites that are social medias that most parents aren't going to know about. Like you've got, I don't even got a list of these things. Could you tell us what these are, the chat roulette, am I pronouncing correctly?
Yeah, chat roulette is a good one to bring up right now because it was just highlighted on the Kardashians. They used chat roulette on their show. So it's very timely. And it's you know, how you play roulette, it's kind of a, you know, roll of the dice kind of thing. You just get what you get. And with the gun, you know, the bullets and how that works, how roulette works. It's the same thing with this chat program. When you go to the website, it opens and you're automatically in chat with someone anywhere in the world doing anything, and the webcam is on. So when that computer screen opens, you have no idea until it opens what you're about to see or who you're about to be talking with. And for the research purposes of the book, I gave it a try. I went to the website, and I posted in my internet book, Hot Buns Internet Edition, exactly what I saw when I opened the page. And it was a girl, a young girl, talking about looking for a guy. And these are absolute strangers. And there's nothing at all that limits how old they are, or even there's no warning even. You know, if you go to certain sites, it'll say you have to be 13 or you need parents' permission or 18 or whatever. Nothing like that. And you just, you could be chatting with someone in Russia. You could be chatting with someone next door. They could be completely naked. Nothing like that at all.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, I've got teenage grandkids, and it's frightening. I don't know these sites, and I'm sure most of our listeners don't. Don't you think that, Jeannie?
Right.
I do. And you know what I was wondering, too, is do you keep a piece of paper or tape over the camera on your kid's computer.
That's a good idea.
I do that myself ever since. Well, I actually do that. My son, who is 30-something and has kids, was doing that. And I said, what is that? And he said, well, anybody can watch you if you don't have that on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I taped mine. So you don't do that, huh?
Yeah, sure. I think that's a good idea. I think our kids are so smart, they can get around a lot of those things, you know?
Yeah.
But anything we can do to let them know, we know what's going on. And with the chat roulette and some of the other sites, go through your browser history. And one of the rules in my house is if I see a gap and I believe that somebody has deleted browser history, we've got a huge problem. So go through those things and go to those sites. See what they are. Maybe it's harmless, but you need to know.
Okay, so another one you've got is called formspring.me. What is that one?
This one's used a lot for bullying. Some of these are just, there's one, I think it made it into the book. It's called hotornot.com.
Yeah, that one's in
and
there.
Yeah, you just post a picture and people vote on it. So your friend, if you're your friend or your enemy or your boyfriend, whoever can post a picture of you or your kids, and people vote how hot they think the person is. Can you imagine how damaging
that's
that
horrible.
Can be?
Yeah,
to
that,
someone,
awful.
Yeah, to find out, you
it's
know,
awful.
At 15 years old, that 1,000 strangers thought you were a two. I mean, what
well,
that
even
would
if
do
they,
to,
even,
yeah.
Even if they think you're a 10, that can have the opposite kind of
problem.
I mean, it doesn't matter what they rate you. It's not good.
So what is the one with mylol.net? Mylol.net. That's another one you've got here. I've got in that one and another one, and then I'd like to try to squeeze in the warning signs before we close today.
Yeah, well, this mylol.net, this is another one of those social sites. They can go, they can have a profile. The little tagline, it says where friends are made. And, if you look at the pictures, if you look at the chat, they're all looking for connection. It's all sexual. The pictures are very graphic, very lewd. The goal is to connect people sexually. It's like they can do chat. They'll connect and go to webcam. They'll go to chat. This is where teenagers are hooking up and doing cyber sex and sexting on the internet.
So what's the problem? You've got a really strong warning on this one. What's the problem? You probably know.
On the MyLOL?
Yeah, the gathering place for the predators and contains thousands
exactly.
of adult users this, posing as teens. This is scary.
Exactly. And because anybody can sign up, let's say your 14-year-old girl is home after school, she's bored, you're working, and she is accessing this site, and she puts up her picture, and they put up messages, text me or write to me or hit me up, and, you know, HMU, that means hit me up, and they start chatting, and they have no idea who's on the other end of that browser, who's the one who's actually talking to them, and often it's a man, a 40-year-old man. And statistically, and it shows this in the Hot Button Internet Edition, a lot of times they even are honest with the girls and say, hey, yeah, I'm 42. I live in, Paducah or something. And they tell them. And these girls, they are so hungry for attention. And a lot of times if it's a girl maybe being raised by a single mom, she's starving for that adult male role model attention from a father-like figure. So they fall into this relationship, and then they're stuck. They feel stuck, it goes from there.
And then you've got
that's
one you
horrible.
Say that really pushed you even further over the edge, and that was the text from last night.com. Okay, tell us a little bit about that, because this parents need to know this stuff, because if their kids start talking about this, you're talking about a text can even be ordered as a T-shirt. What the heck is that all about?
Well, if you're reading your kids' text messages or checking up on them and you see them use TFLN, you know that they know what text from last night is, and that's a website. And what it is basically this is the drunk dialing of text messages where people maybe completely drunk are texting nasty messages to people, and they read it the next morning. They don't remember ever sending it. They read it the next morning. They can't believe what they said. And instead of being horrified by their behavior, it's funny, and they post it on the internet. And then everybody laughs, and they rate them. Like, aha, that was the best text from last night. Good for you. Like, this is a prize to be proud of. And then they order it as T-shirts, and it gets printed on their T-shirts, their text from last night.
Oh, my goodness. That's what that meant. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Drunk dialing of text messaging.
I'm just shocked, Nicole.
Yeah, me too. We're both, you know, a little naive on this, I think.
I'm sure I am.
There's so much out there. And this is, I wanted to reiterate in the book, and I'll say it here again, that we have no idea what's out there, and we have no idea what will be there tomorrow. These are just a few things. And I don't want parents to think, if you know about this, you know everything, because this, in a moment, can be obsolete and something else will take its place.
Okay, we only got about 5 minutes left. Now, what I'd really like you to do is to share the warning signs. In addition to closely monitoring what social media sites your kids visit, it's important, you say, to watch for evidence of social network addiction. What do we mean by that? What are the warning signs of social network addiction in your child?
Well, do you have a kid who will sob and cry if you take away that cell phone for a day? Are they so connected to that technology, whether it's the computer screen or the cell phone, that they'll fight tooth and nail for access to it? How easy is it to spend time alone? Can you sit down at night and play a game without the fingers going on the phone? If you're finding that your kids are so attached to those screens, to those buttons, to that texting, you need to break that cycle. You need to say, okay, from 7 to 9 p.m., that's family time. We're going to have dinner at 6, and then from 7 to 9, we're going to play a game. We're going to talk. We're going to do homework. All technology off. Or whatever works for your family, whatever you can, you know, whatever you want to do. But you want to make sure that those family relationships are the primary ones and not just afterthoughts in between the next text message. You don't want to be heard from your kids in between text messages. Same thing with the Internet. If you start to see in the browser history, you start to get concerned about some of the traffic, where your kids are frequenting on the Internet, or the amount of posts on Facebook, or, and here, this is a big one, if Facebook activity or Twitter activity stops, the sites where you know have always been frequented, if that slows or stops, there's a good likelihood your teenager has figured out that if I set up a private profile, I can do more stuff without mom looking over my shoulder, and they forget to keep up on the old one. So, you know, if you see that, you really want to do some digging and find out what else is going on.
Wow, good tip.
If you're finding pictures, if you're seeing nasty or sexy or lewd pictures, whatever you're seeing, you can pretty much assume there's more that have been deleted. So you want to, at this point, when you start to see some of these things happen, that's when you pull back. You get that phone back and you do some retraining before you give it back.
Oh, Nicole, we could talk to you forever, I think, on these subjects. Jeannie, do you have one more question you'd like to bring up or another statement?
No, I have a statement. This makes me really understand even more the guy who was a phenom on YouTube who shot his daughter's computer. Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw that.
That makes me think, I think I might want to shoot a bunch of computers here. This is terrible. And I really appreciate the warnings. I really appreciate the information. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, I think as a parent we get angry when something comes against our kids, and we feel like it's out to get them, and we get angry. And I can really relate and appreciate that feeling of just saying, no, I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to have this come between me.
Nicole, take a minute and just tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you and how they can get these hot-button books, because these are phenomenal tools.
Well, the hot-button books, we have dating and Internet and sexuality and drugs all available now. And Bullying and Image come out next year. You can get them anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those bookstores. If you go to hotbuttonsite.com, I post strategic scenarios, which is what you'll find in the Hot Button books, for you to actually have these conversations with your teenagers. That's the goal. So if you go there and look at those, you can kind of get a feel for what you'll find in the books and try out the strategic scenarios with your team. We're also launching a 30-day challenge from November 12th to December 11th, 11-12 to 12-11, 30 days of hot button conversations. We're going to walk you through, as a group, as a parent group, we're going to walk through having 30 days of these tough talks with our kids. So you can join us at facebook.com/hotbuttons, and we'll keep you up to date on how to get involved with that challenge.
Well, thank you, Nicole. We have so
enjoyed you, Nicole.
And I do pray that you listeners will get a hold of that hot button challenge with your teens and sit down and go through that with them and listen, because they've got a lot to learn, and so do you. We want to protect our kids as much as we can. Thank you for being such
an excellent guest
again, Nicole.
Thank you.
We look forward to your third show, which we're going to be featuring Hot Buttons with Drugs and Dating 2 weeks from today. So tune back in, listeners, and we'll be having Nicole back one more time. God bless you.
Can't wait. Thanks.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.